Following the October military takeover that ended Sudan's civilian-led government, the United Nations Integrated Transition Assistance Mission in Sudan started a process earlier this year to break a political impasse between different military and civilian actors on how to move the country forward and restore its transition to democracy. The African Union and IGAD joined the process later. UNITAM's chief Volker Perthes held hundreds of consultations with political parties, civil society, resistance committees, traditional leaders and others to gather opinions and input on the path forward. Cameron Hudson is a fellow at the Atlantic Council's Africa Center and a longtime expert on Sudan.
The work that has been done, I think, is fair to be characterized as broadly inclusive. But that isn't to say that it has achieved anything other than soliciting advice and input from the population. I think it's the second phase of this dialogue where representatives from these political parties and outside groups are going to presumably become face-to-face with the military to negotiate a way forward. That's really, I think, what everyone is waiting to see.
As the process entered its second phase, which involves dialogue with various parties on solutions in their positions, the U.S. Department of State praised the effort on May 9th as being inclusive and called for the release of all political detainees, the lifting of the state of emergency imposed by coup leaders, and urged civilian and military actors to participate in the process to achieve a framework for democratic transition. Hudson says despite the international accolade, the process does not seem to enjoy sufficient support at home.
The problem is that the people of Sudan do not have faith in the UN process. They believe that the UN has been too deferential to the military. The UN has prioritized, and not just the UN, the international community, as embodied by the UN, prioritizes stability over kind of transition and revolution. And so there is a real sense among the people that the international community doesn't necessarily want democracy or change in Sudan. They just want to avoid bloodshed and to avoid, you know, further instability in the country. And so there's a lack of trust around this UN process.
Following the coup, the U.S. cut off $700 million worth of aid to Sudan. The World Bank also halted a process of debt relief to Sudan worth nearly $60 billion. Hudson says cutting off assistance to Sudan and freezing the debt relief process is not enough to pressure the military into relinquishing power. He says the U.S. must go after the military's core interests by targeting their corporations and businesses and target its leaders with sanctions.
The United States keeps asking, not pressuring, but asking the military to end the state of emergency, to release political prisoners, to join in the UN process, to be, you know, the United States is asking the military to do something it doesn't want to do and to be something it doesn't want to be. And it is offering nothing to really induce them to do that.
Hudson says absent measures that force the military to reconsider their position, the process will not restore genuine civilian-led democratic rule in Sudan. Last week, the U.S. Senate passed bipartisan legislation condemning the military coup and calling on the Secretary of State to immediately identify coup leaders, their accomplices, and enablers for consideration of targeted sanctions. Sudanese analyst and associate professor at Long Island University, Bakri Al-Madani, says the tripartite process appears to be a quick fix that cannot achieve a lasting solution to Sudan's political crisis. He says for the process to work, it must address structural issues of governance in Sudan, such as military-civilian relations and the dominant role of the military in power and economy.
It lacks the comprehension of the complexity of the situation. I think it lacks the genuine interest in actually providing lasting solution. I think it's a quick fix. And I have been a believer for a long time saying there is no quick fix in Sudan that's going to work. CPA in 2005 was a quick fix. It didn't solve anything for both countries. If it's a matter of creating peace and stability and democracy. Multiple peace agreements have been signed as a quick fix.
Medani says the solution should also involve security sector reforms and forming one army with a unified command in Sudan. He says without addressing these substantive issues of governance, the UN-led process will be no different from previous dialogues and agreements that failed to resolve problems in Sudan.
It has a political connotation, which is basically reminding me of Bashir Day's the national dialogue for the sake of national dialogue as an objective itself. So it's not talking to get to an agreement or like come together to put the country on the path of a democratic transition. It's actually just talking. And we all know this is going to benefit the coup coalition. It's going to provide the impression that they are actually genuine and they are interested in solutions. We all know that's not true. And I'm really worried about the outcome.
Medani says no one has a clue about what is happening with the political process in Sudan right now. Sharp differences between civilian and military actors in Sudan have prevented face-to-face talks from taking place. The second round of the tripartite process began last weekend with indirect talks. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.